As Christians, we need to be clear about the world's depraved dicta on human sexuality. It's good to be clear about what we're against, but there's more to the story. There has to be.
Dr. Scott Murray, talking about his presentation at the 2017 Fall Issues, Etc., Making the Case Conference.
The God-given gift of holy marriage with all of its blessings and benefits must be encouraged and extolled among us. God's gift of marriage teaches that sex is not for us, but for the other, and for the other alone. Exclusive heterosexual monogamy is God's way. It's the best way. Especially for our own children and grandchildren, Christians have to build the case for God's gift of marriage.
You can meet and hear Dr. Scott Murray, Making the Case for Christian Marriage, November 10th and 11th in Houston, Texas. Learn more at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385.
I think there is an alternative. I think there are ways, and I'm being both very respectful and completely impious, of stealing from religions. If you don't believe in a religion, there's nothing wrong with picking and mixing, with taking out the best sides of religion. And for me, Atheism 2.0 is about, in both, as I say, a respectful and an impious way, going through religions and saying, what here could we use? The secular world is full of holes. We have secularized badly, I would argue. And a thorough study of religion can give us all sorts of insights into areas of life that are not going too well.
That's atheist Alain de Botton. He's regarded as a new atheist 2.0, critical of the previous atheism. And then, of course, there's another iteration of atheism. We might call them the new freedom atheists, who are critical of atheism 1.0 and 2.0, saying 2.0 is not atheist enough. My question is, why does atheism need to go through all these iterations in the last decade or so? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Joining us to talk about the new freedom atheists and all varieties of atheists, regular guest Craig Parton, attorney in Santa Barbara, California, United States Director for the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights, and author of several books, including The Defense Never Rests and Religion on Trial. Craig, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd. Always a pleasure.
From your kind of perusal of atheism, as it continues to re-express itself in the last several decades, why do you think it's going through these various iterations, old atheist, new atheist, 1.0, 2.0, and the like?
Well, I think, Todd, you have to look at what the differences are between contemporary evangelical atheism, I call it, and classical atheism. There was the point with classical atheism that there was at least respect that theism had a long history and was trying to deal with broad questions about human existence and meaning. With the new evangelical atheists, Hitchens, Dawkins, and the rest, there was really a turn in atheism from at least having an intellectual discussion to you are evil for holding to a cosmic religious position that at least purports to explain why we're here, how we got here, and where we're going. And I think it was that edge that became very distasteful for people listening to the debates as they went on through the last basically two decades. And people heard Dawkins, Hitchens debating people like John Lennox, John Montgomery, others through the years. And I think they realized to treat them with chastisement that they're the source of terrorism, horrors in the world. All evil is traced to Christianity, for example, as one religious expression. Wasn't holding water, and that there was at least evidential reasons to hold to the Christian position on these issues. So I think atheism has taken a step back and said that wasn't working. Maybe there's some things we can learn from religion, do a pick and choose kind of basis to do it, decide for ourselves what we like about it. Maybe it can add some ethical, moral sensibilities, some things. Maybe the idea that atheism is completely bankrupt in terms of a basis for opposing evil, maybe we can learn something from religion on that. That seems to me a rational response of atheism to what Dawkins and Hitchens were offering 15 years ago. I don't think we should be surprised that they're looking for bigger answers. It's just that they've sawed off the branch in which they're sitting on by starting with the position and arguing for the no existence of God. They've cut themselves off from the very beginning from any absolute ethic. Any absolute transcendent word gives explanation for human dignity and ultimately no basis for deciding where we're going. We're just cosmic dust ending up in a sea of nothingness.
So it sounds as though you call them evangelical atheists. Some, like, I think others have called them kind of moralistic atheists. Rich, talking about Christopher Hitchens, his primary arguments against Christianity were not historical, but moral. He just considered it an immoral abomination to have an idea of a what he called child sacrifice at the center of Christianity. Is that part of their character, that they're kind of moralistic in that sense?
That is definitely part of the argument. And, of course, if there is no God, there's no basis for determining good or evil, period. So to condemn Christianity as immoral and Christians as moral monsters from the position of atheism is absolutely bankrupt philosophically at the front end. So they have no basis and ability to be able to do that. But secondly, I think Christians, in dealing with the moral argument of atheism, that Christians have been involved in atrocities, have made a strategic error trying to defend things that they don't need to be defending. For example, the Crusades and other things where people will say, well, there's really a good explanation for why Christians were involved in that. And that may be so. But we don't have to defend. We're not about defending every Christian's moral behavior in the history of the church. The fact is the church has been full of 100% sinners from the beginning. And you would expect there to be people that have misinterpreted scriptural commands, have been involved in various sins against other people. Think of your own lives, you know, or my own life, I think of that. Are you the ultimate example that want to be held up as being the ultimate Christian representative for the history of the Christian faith? Christians have been involved in all kinds of sadly unfortunate activities in history, and we shouldn't be involved in trying to defend them. We can say that activity, in fact, is condemned by Scripture. Christ says, don't take up the sword to advance my cause, and has other clear commands against taking people's lives in order to advance the gospel. So we don't have to defend the moral failures of the Christians through history. But what we do have is we have clear revelation from God that he condemns evil and ultimately condemns it in the person and work of his Son, who came to save evil people from the just condemnation that we deserve.
So what do you make of this kind of, let's call them then the atheist 2.0? We heard an example of that in our open, where they're talking about, you know, we haven't secularized society well enough, and maybe we can steal from religion some of their ideas. Since we don't believe in the core of any of their ideas, we can steal, for a practical sense, their ideas about how to make society better, absent any religious content, of course. What do you make of that approach?
Well, ultimately, I think it's a doomed approach, because Christian revelation is a unified revelation. It's based on an anthropology, a doctrine of man. Man's position vis-a-vis God and other men is a broken relationship. It is, if you don't fundamentally understand human nature, you're never going to understand Christian revelation and the Christian prescription, ultimately the remedy that's being provided. And to try and pick and choose out without understanding and having an appropriate understanding of man's fallenness, you're just creating a social situation of maximum disappointment and chaos. The fact is, trying to build your heaven on earth is never going to work and never will work. And Scripture's clear about that. We're supposed to be praying as Christians for peace and quiet so we can get the gospel preached. And short of that, man, society is there and laws are there to protect us from eating one another during the process of getting the gospel out, because there's not going to be peace and harmony. It's the church militant until the day we die and join the church triumphant. Until that time, man's sin is going to be overarching, and I think atheistic attempts to siphon off various ethical teachings of Christianity and apply them without understanding Christianity's foundational understanding that man needs to repent and get right with God is going to be ultimately doomed.
Have you ever run across, to whatever degree, a consistent atheist? And I'm thinking about it in these terms, Craig. I don't believe in unicorns, ghosts, or what? Space aliens, all right?
Yeah.
So I don't spend much time thinking about them. I don't spend any time worrying about ghosts or unicorns approaching me in my neighborhood because I don't believe they exist, and aliens don't worry me at night because I don't believe they exist. To me, a consistent atheist, if he genuinely does not believe that God exists, can calmly ignore him and the subject for an entire lifetime and be thoroughly consistent. Have you met anyone like this?
Well, I certainly have read about certain atheists who lived the consistent, supposed consistent lifestyle of complete meaninglessness, but it's difficult, very difficult to do. The French existentialists come to mind as those who tried to do that. But ultimately, they make moral pronouncements. Ultimately, they find meaning in certain things. Everyone has a worldview. Everyone's religious, ultimately. It's some kind of fundamental level. That is, everyone believes we came from something, that it may be chance, randomless events that have no purpose or meaning or guiding principle to them. But ultimately, everybody believes that we came from something, that there, this life has some kind of purpose, even if it's just to extinguish yourself in self-gratification and end up in dust. Those are worldview pictures. And the question is, which worldview is most consistent with reality? And reality is the broken, fallen nature of mankind and this world that we live in. Which one gives understands the source of the disease, and which one provides the proper remedy? And atheism can't possibly do that. These people may live harmonious lives. I mean, you can find atheists that are the nicest people in the world, have nice family lives, live long lives till they're 95 and die in their garden, versus Christians who are living in obedience to the Lord's command who end up being martyred in Somalia. That happens all the time. And the test of this isn't whether somebody is happy with their situation and can live without being perplexed about the inconsistencies in their worldview. The question is, who's right? And how are we going to decide between competing religious viewpoints and atheism, which is really a religious viewpoint? I mean, it claims to know there is no God, that there isn't evidence for that, that there's no meaning and purpose in this world, and that there's no end after you're dead here. What's the evidence for that compared to the evidence that God has actually entered the human condition and historical evidence that that happened in the person and work of Jesus Christ, done in a historical moment in history that's backed up by good and sufficient evidence and has been investigated by people through the centuries that have come to the conclusion, sometimes kicking and screaming like C.S. Lewis, that this is right even though I wish it wasn't. The evidence is so compelling.
When we come back, there are atheists who are seeking what a third alternative, an alternative that is neither the something bigger than myself atheism, as we find in the certain branch of atheist, or religion. Is there a third alternative for the latest iteration of atheism? Craig Parton is our guest. We're talking about the New Freedom Atheists. He's an attorney in Santa Barbara, California, and United States Director of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights.
My biggest fear is that this is not the work of the devil, because there can be no devil if there is no God. And if there were a world of God, he would never allow such suffering.
I've got some friends down
join Mark and Molly Hemingway, Brian Wolfmiller, Rod Dreher, Jennifer Roback Morse, Scott Murray, and me for the 2017 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 10th and Saturday, November 11th in Houston, Texas. Registration is $120. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, November 10th and 11th in Houston. And they won't ask me
questions. Memoria Press now offers 6 levels of the Simply Classical curriculum for students with special needs. These full-year curriculum packages for children with learning challenges enable you to teach reading, writing, arithmetic, art, poetry, science, history, Latin, literature, and Christian studies with incremental classical methods. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and enter promo code LPR17 to save on resources for your home or school.
Expert guests, expansive topics, extolling Christ. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth. Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
Lutheran Federal Credit Union was formed to serve you and to serve the church. Starting October 1st, this twofold mission becomes even more pronounced. During October, when you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs, or when you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to their ministry of the month, the Concordia Historical Institute. Learn more at lutheranfcu.org. Lutheran FCU, good for you, good for the church.
That's me in the spotlight, losing my religion.
We're talking about the new freedom atheists. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Craig Parton is our guest. He's author of the book, The Defense Never Rests. That book can be found at the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org, or you can call Concordia Publishing House any day during regular business hours, any weekday during regular business hours, and order The Defense Never Rests. I highly recommend it. 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Craig, I wonder what you make of the latest iteration of atheism here, as I find in an article titled The New Atheists Are Not Atheists Enough. It's a critique of both atheism 1.0 and 2.0. And this is in part what the author writes. What should we do then? Is there a genuine, not merely superficial, alternative to both religion and the something bigger new atheists talk about? I suggest that there's a very simple alternative. We should try to avoid forcing a straitjacket on our ever-changing self by religious doctrines or by one of the projects of the new atheists are talking about. We should accept and cherish our freedom to change. He ends the article by saying the opposite of religion is not a slavish following of something bigger. It is, the opposite of religion is freedom. What do you make of that atheistic pronouncement?
I just think this clouds the issue, Todd. I really welcome, and I think any Christian serious about the defense of the Christian faith should welcome true atheism to the discussion table. People who say, without any hesitation, I'm an atheist. There's no evidence for the existence of God. The classical atheist creed, there's no basis for morality. We're random mutations that have little purpose or meaning and are going to no end. That kind of hard-hitting, strong, rational, at least, objective discussion is right in the wheelhouse of Christian apologetics. But when atheists start mealy-mouthing around about what they really need to do and that they can take from other religious positions and that there's a third way for atheism to go forward, just clouds the issue. I would encourage discussions with people like that to get to the ultimate issue. Look, do you or do you not think that there's evidence for the existence of God? If not, let's begin there with what I think is the best evidence for God, not only general existence, but specific entrance into human history at a specific point in time to deal with what I think even you can agree seems to be the perpetual problem of man's inhumanity to man, his inability to even keep, as Lewis says, his own internal code and have the discussion on that level. I think this effort by atheism to go to 3.0 is a joke. I think it leads, it just shows that they don't have confidence in their own arguments. And I think it should be shown for what it is, which is a compromise of classical atheism and an inability to stand up for the basic arguments of atheism that are crumbling all around. The problem is it's easier to argue with atheists today, and it's more difficult to find true atheists today. What's more common to find is somebody who says, I'm glad you're religious. I'm religious in my own way, too. We each find our own truth, and I'm glad you found yours. You know, God bless you. We're all going up the same mountain. That is a very much more, I think, apologetically difficult, challenging person to deal with than someone who holds to 1.0, 2.0, or 3.0, for that matter, atheism.
I have had the opportunity to interview several atheists, some better known, some less well known. And one of the things I've discovered is they are not so much atheists, but critics of Christianity. That's one of the things I've discovered. The other thing I've discovered is that when pushed, they default to either one of two positions. And that is, and I'm not a great arguer with them. I'm just simply asking simple questions of them.
Yeah, it's a good way to do it.
The one default is, well, I guess I'm really kind of agnostic, if they're really consistent, because they can't claim universal knowledge when they say there's no evidence for the existence of God. That's kind of a universal statement right there. Evidence could emerge tomorrow that might be irrefutable, as it did 2,000 years ago when he walked the earth. So they'll default to, well, I guess I'm probably more of an agnostic. Or what they will simply do is retreat into postmodernism, where truth suddenly becomes entirely relative. I had one famous atheist, I believe, simply say, I don't know what you mean by objective truth. And to me, without objective truth, you can't even be an atheist. You can't even make statements
about
God. What do we do when we are when we will inevitably encounter both of these hiding places for the atheists that we know in our families and our life? How do we deal with them?
Well, I think we spend most of the time on the positive evidence for the Christian faith. And I think it's strategically unwise to attack a person's own personal religious position. If you have a half an hour with somebody, I think you better find yourself equipped to be able to deal 25 minutes with the affirmative case that God presented himself in the person of Jesus Christ, lived a perfect life and died an atoning death for the sins of the world, and resurrected for our justification. You should be able to make that case through the simple, strong case for the reliability of the New Testament Gospels, that these present Christ as being God in the flesh, that Christ verifies these claims by his resurrection from the dead. If he raised himself from the dead, he is God, and if he's whatever he says, you better listen to. You can make that case in 25 minutes and then spend 5 minutes critiquing or dealing with the person's own personal religious position and why that is inadequate for any reason. But most Christians go the other way around. They spend 25 of the 30 minutes getting into an argument about why the person's religious position is inadequate and what the problems with it happen to be. And I think that is psychologically very unwise, strategically unwise. You just get people upset and irritated. And secondly, the burden of proof is on the Christian. We're the one asserting the existence of God and the entrance of God into history and the person and work of Christ, the reliability of the New Testament Gospels. That's our position. That's the claims that we're presenting and backing with evidence. We, therefore, have the burden of proof to show that that is actually the case. And Christians got to be equipped to do that and get a hold of apologetical books that equip you to present the affirmative evidence and then call for a verdict. Here's the evidence. The evidence doesn't call doesn't say, it's true, but it makes no difference in your life. It's true, and you're called to believe and be saved and call for that and be equipped to be able to do that. And people ought to be around books that handle objections to non-Christian philosophies and viewpoints, but also present the affirmative evidence for the Christian faith, because we're very, very poor at doing that. We tend to preach at people, but that's not giving them evidence to believe. It's not doing the apostolic, going to the resurrection and producing the evidence that God was there in Christ at the cross and, in fact, resurrected for our justification. That's the evidence we need to focus on.
Craig Parton is an attorney in Santa Barbara, California, United States Director of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights, author of several books, including The Defense Never Rests and Religion on Trial. Craig, thank you very much for your time.
My pleasure, Todd, all the time. Enjoy it.
Folks, we have three lodging options left for you for the 2017 Fall Making the Case Conference, and two of those hotel options will expire in only 6 days on the 11th of October. So don't wait to register for the conference and get your hotel room. You can meet and hear Mark and Molly Hemingway, Pastor Brian Wolf-Miller, Rod Dreher, Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse, and Dr. Scott Murray. Registration for the conference is $120. That includes meals Friday night and on Saturday afternoon and evening. Child care for children ages 1 through 12 is free, courtesy of the Consortium for Classical Lutheran Education. The Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference, November 10th and 11th in Houston, Texas. Register by giving us a call, 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, or register at our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll discuss Martin Luther, the man in the moment, with Dr. Cameron McKenzie, author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October, The Reformation. One thing to remember when dealing with either the squishy, I'm spiritual in my own way, and you have your truth and I have my truth, or with the ardent old school atheist who doesn't care whether God exists, or the new school atheist who's really more of a critique of Christianity, or the new school atheists who are trying to find the best of both worlds, or the new school atheists who are simply talking about personal autonomy and freedom. This is what you bear in mind. You have the truth on your side. The truth is that God does exist, and He has revealed Himself in the person of Jesus Christ. And that truth isn't just some truth that exists there in your mind. It is the truth that converts and saves. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. You can promote your confessional Lutheran church and support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining our congregational sponsorship program, the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. You'll find an informational flyer on the support page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. The Issues Etc. 300.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.